Okay, thanks. As Pat Meany mentioned, I'm going to talk a little bit about contraceptive security, and I have no financial relationships to disclose. Since we'll all be talking about different topics on the panel, I wanted to start with a little bit of context on international family planning. Nearly 30 years ago, 174 countries affirmed access to family planning as a human right at the International Conference on Population and Development. We also know that spacing and limiting pregnancies can prevent 1 in 3 maternal deaths and up to 25% of under 5 child deaths. But despite all of this, 222 million women in the world currently lack access to contraceptives. So what's been the response? Family planning's prominence has grown in recent years in international development efforts. Access to family planning is crucial to attaining Millennium Development Goal 5, improving maternal health, and is the central feature of FP 2020, which seeks to add 120 million new users of contraceptives by 2020. In addition to programming and sensitization around family planning, achieving these goals requires contraceptive supplies, which is a central focus of UNFPA, USAID, and the Reproductive Health Supplies Coalition, which is the largest convening body of contraceptive supplies organizations. So lots of people are working together to attain access to family planning. This presentation is going to give an overview of one specific resource of the USAID Deliver project that's aiding in these efforts. To do this, I'll define contraceptive security. I'll describe one way to assess a country's contraceptive security situation based on 5 categories of indicators, and I'll explain how you can quickly access and use country-specific dashboards for advocacy and program planning. Contraceptive security, which I'll refer to as CS, exists when every person is able to choose, obtain, and use quality, affordable contraceptives whenever she or he needs them. This definition is intentionally client-focused, and the words were deliberately crafted to highlight the human rights aspect of access to contraceptives for all. The definition is also rather broad. So to bring CS from the theoretical to the practical, we looked at key components implicit in the definition and worked to craft indicators that would help countries understand their current situation and their trajectory towards achieving CS. So what are the CS indicators? The CS indicators is a data set generated through a survey-based activity that collects data from various countries about indicators related to 5 of the many factors that go in to ensuring client access to contraceptives. It's been collected annually since 2009 in approximately 45 countries. It's ranged from about 36 to 45 countries. The 5 factors that the survey focuses on are capital or financing for contraceptive supplies, commitment, usually by the government and others, expressed through policies, commodities, knowing which methods are available, where and when, coordination and leadership around family planning more broadly, and capacity, and specifically we look at the capacity related to the supply chain. The 2013 data collection recorded information from 43 different countries, and the surveys are completed by partners in country, either the USAID Deliver Project Office, the USAID Mission, Ministries of Health, or other family planning convening bodies. The survey responses are reliant on key informants, but where possible, we do validate the responses with published policies or consistency with responses from past years. The indicators are intentionally process indicators because we're trying to make the information more readily available. Data collection is a huge challenge in many of the countries we work in, and the survey seeks to make information available annually rather than every 5 years when demographic surveys are generally carried out. So how is the data available? When completed, the survey ranges in between 5 and 7 pages in length. And from this data, we generate papers and briefs on the findings. But in recent years, we've turned our attention from just collecting the data to disseminating it out more broadly. So to do that more effectively, we've put the raw data, maps, and dashboards on the internet so that people could use them for tailored analyses that meet their needs in country or more globally. In the back, there are handouts of the global dashboard as well as a Tanzania-specific one that you can take if you're interested. So we'll look at the Tanzania example just to give you a sense of what's possible. Rather than reading through the 5 to 7 pages of survey answers, we've put some of the information in one dashboard so that stakeholders are able to easily see what information is available and what gaps there are in service offerings. The information is housed in an Excel file, so it's easily downloadable, shared, printed, etc. Using a drop-down in the upper left-hand corner, the user can also view the answers from previous years. So you can change the year and see what happened in 2009, 2010, etc. This dashboard only captures selected indicators, but in subsequent tabs of the file are the complete survey responses. So anyone who wants to drill down and get more information is able to easily do so. So how can the dashboard be used? They're a useful tool for in-country stakeholders in setting priorities and monitoring progress towards CS. And to do that, you need to know how to interpret the information. So here we can look at a graph on public sector commodities, which identifies 9 common contraceptive methods. And for each of these methods, shows us quickly in one graph if it's listed on the National Essential Medicines List, that's in orange, and this list is used in country to prioritize the procurement and financing of all drugs in the country. If the method is offered in the public sector, it's shown in purple. And if the method remained in stock at the central level throughout the year, which is shown in yellow. So an advocate in Tanzania may look at this graph and can easily see that female condoms and emergency contraceptive pills are both listed on the National Essential Medicines List, but are not offered in the public sector. And this might be one area around which they would choose to advocate. We can also look at financing data over time. We show here 3 main sources of financing data, internally generated funds in dark orange. These are funds generally generated through taxes. Other government funds, which could be World Bank basket funds or other money given from a donor or government to the government for its own purposes, which is shown in light orange. And donations of commodities in kind, usually from UNFPA, USAID, and other development partners, that's shown in green. So here we can see easily in one snapshot that we're having a diminishing share of financing from internally generated funds. And advocates might choose to mobilize around this issue to generate increased country ownership over contraceptive financing. How else can the CS indicators be used? As we've turned from collecting the information to disseminating it more broadly, we've seen a few of different uses. One is building local capacity to use the data to monitor progress towards CS. In Latin America and the Caribbean, we saw that regional dashboards were used to generate interest among Ministry of Health staff, both in increasing their understanding of the indicators and also their willingness to collect the data in countries that have graduated from USAID commodity support. Also, we've seen it used to compare regions, countries, and trends over time. UNFPA held a workshop in Eastern Europe and East Asia and used dashboards to see the trends in the region in terms of total market for contraceptives and commodity security, and also helped to set advocacy priorities and highlight focus interventions. So as we saw in Tanzania, a country could choose to use the dashboards to find advocacy points, but also at the global level, we know that partners are using the information to advocate around areas that are important to them related to commodity security. For example, the International Consortium for Emergency Contraceptive can easily pull up the data sheet and see which countries are offering EC in which sectors and find gaps in those resources. Also, Advanced Family Planning and Population Action International are 2 partners that look heavily at the financing information to help in-country and global advocates find gaps in financing for contraceptives and advocate for mobilizing more resources. So these are just a couple of the many ways that we've seen the data used to build evidence for better family planning programs. But at the heart of the survey and the dissemination of the findings is the focus on protecting the human rights and health of men and women around the world by ensuring they get the contraceptives they want when they want them. With increased data for decision making, we hope that countries are able to ensure an uninterrupted supply of contraceptives so that clients don't arrive at the clinic to find there are none available, as in the cases here in Bolivia. For more information on the CS indicators, I encourage you to visit our website, deliver.jsi.com, or you can email me directly. Thanks.
thank you so much, Emma. And I would just like to say that if you have questions, please hold them because we will definitely have time for Q&A. And you really kind of gave us a snapshot of what's happening. That's really nice. But I just wanted to say one thing, that when we look at contraceptive access and sometimes the local cultures and the local customs are so discriminatory and so stifling for women. And I can tell you that when I was working as a physician in the Middle East many, many years ago, that a woman had to take the permission of her husband to get contraception. So I was not at liberty to prescribe contraception for a woman even though she wanted, and I would get weird questions like, you're married? Yeah, I am, but you have only one child. So is something wrong with your uterus? And I was thinking like, why are these people asking me all these weird questions? And then my nurse translated to tell me that these people were amazed that I was coming to work year after year, you know, and sometimes my daughter would come along, but it's like when there was some social or something like that. But most of the time, I was not getting pregnant every year. So my regular patients who used to come regularly to see me had this question. So when we are looking at contraception, definitely it's advocacy, it's human right. It's also encouraging and educating the males and the older members in the family to tell them that just because a woman takes a contraceptive, it doesn't mean she becomes useless, but it's just that she's spacing her children so that it's good for her own health and the children's health.